At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, on a quiet hill where an asylum once burned to the ground, two friends set out for a little ghost hunt, but they got more than they ever bargained for.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey, thank you very much for listening. And if you have a real ghost story, share it with us. You know how much we like that. You can call it in at 855-853-4802. Write it in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Become a premium subscriber if you want. You get advanced episodes, access to the archive, no commercials. Sign up today through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. Or ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes, and my sister Kathy Gordon is here today.
I am. Hello. How is it going?
Well, pretty good. I took my dog to his second baseball game ever last night.
Ugh.
Oh, he made me so proud.
Did he make you proud?
He did. He was a gentleman. Good. He was into it. It was really cute. Like, we're going the entrance we went in has quite a few steps to go up. And he, like, couldn't get up those stairs fast enough, and we were waiting in line to get in. And I'm like, people are on that step. You cannot be on the step with those people. But he was trying, like, he just couldn't stand it. He just wanted in there so bad. But he was really cute. And so it was funny. So we're sitting next to another group, because you have to sit out on the grassy berm area. So we're sitting next to another group, and they had, like, three or four dogs with them. And I heard somebody saying, Benji, Benji. And I was like looking around, thinking they were talking to my dog. No, they had a dog named Benji. So I went over to so Benji can meet Benji. And what was so adorable is their Benji was named Benjamin Winston. And so your daughter, Kate, her dog is Winston. So I had to send her a picture last night of Benjamin Winston.
Benjamin Winston.
Which I thought was really cute.
My dog's name is Joe Madden.
He is Joe Madden.
He is Joe Madden. That's his full name. I call him the Mad Dog for short, but yeah, he's named after Joe Madden, the baseball manager.
And my guy is full name Benjamin Buttons. So
yeah.
So, but he was really cute. He was really, really cute last night. It was really fun.
Speaking of getting on to stare when somebody's already on it in front of you, a while back I was at in an airport. I believe it was in LaGuardia, okay, in New York. And I'm going up the escalator and I step onto the escalator, right? And all of a sudden I feel something like next to me. There is a man on my step.
What the fuck?
On the escalator. Now, Carol, there's nobody else around. He could have been he could have been 10 steps down and nobody was there. Like, I'm going up this escalator practically by myself. He gets on my step.
Did he just misjudge? Like, I'm going for this step. Whoops, I got on that lady's step.
I look at him like, have you lost your mind? You know, my step. Well, I was in front of you. I declared for this step, right? And he just ignored me like I wasn't even on the step.
Well, and then sometimes.
Then I was wondering, okay, am I invisible? Is it me?
No.
Or is he a not for real?
Like, I don't know that
he
he's
acted
for
like
real.
I wasn't even on the step. And there was nobody around us.
Well, and then like, that's nobody. Awkward because chances are, like, you have the step and your suitcase has the step behind you.
Exactly. Or I think it was in front of me, right? And I'm like, this is the weirdest thing ever. This man is on the stairs.
Were you able to move to a different step? Like, you have to go?
No, it was just real awkward.
And then who gets off first? Jesus.
Well, I just went ahead and went, you know, but I thought it was like, who does that?
I don't know.
Was it kind of kinky? Like, what was up with that?
Was your wallet in your purse after that experience?
Yes, everything was okay. There.
That's weird.
Right, you know, you think, but this guy, he'd be like 50.
And was it really a guy? Did you actually encounter a ghost?
That's what I'm wondering. See, now that I think about it, I'm thinking no one in the world acts like this. No one in the world would do that.
And is that is that like some residual thing? Or is this guy just like constantly riding up an escalator at LaGuardia?
Does he do it just how people would react? Like, is there a camera watching me, you know? I don't know. It was weird.
That one's really weird. That is way too much. This is my space, Like,
and you could almost buy it if it was real full, but like I was the only person on the thing. Like there was just nobody around.
Oh, I don't like it. God.
So
personal
weird.
Space.
Oh, and I was just, you know, I couldn't shake it off fast enough after I got off. I'm like, ugh, you know. So weird.
Don't like it. So let's go to a ghost story, which is much more pleasant than that. My God, that's a nightmare. It says, I'm going to leave the name of the place out of where we went because trespassing is still trespassing. The locals know it, though, a grassy hill at the end of a quiet county road where, according to town legend, an asylum burned down in the 1920s. The building is long gone, and today the hill is just open grass edged by woods with a modern two-story house on top. No one stays in that house for more than a few months before moving out, and realtors mention settling issues. Neighbors blame it on the old asylum. So my friend Seth and I showed up one hot July night around 11. We had done small ghost hunts before with our phone cameras, cheap EMF meters, but this was the first time where we brought tools meant for direct answers. Seth had brought copper divining rods from a metaphysical shop. The idea is simple. You hold the rods loosely. If they cross, that's yes. If they swing apart, that's no. So we parked under a dying street lamp at the base of the hill, turned off the car, walked up through knee-high grass. The sky was clear. The house looked normal enough, vinyl siding, a dark porch, an abandoned swing set, no lights were on. At the top, we stopped about 10 yards shy of the porch. This makes me have to wonder, like, I'm assuming the house was empty.
That's, I was just thinking the same thing.
Because I'm like, talk about personal space. Like, you cannot
this
be.
This is an episode full of creepy personal space violations.
Yes.
But I think
10 yards from anybody's porch is too close.
I think it was empty.
I'm going to go with that. And then they do something weird, too, because it says, Seth handed me one rod, so each of us had one. And usually with divining rods, you have both of them. You have one in each hand. Mm-hmm. So they're doing it just each is holding one, which
they're,
I guess would make
sense. Each holding one, you think, or each
it
has
says,
a set?
Seth handed me one rod, so each of us had one, is what it says.
Okay.
You know, maybe thinking about it, because I've tried them before, but I've never had anything. And I think the people who really know how to use them are probably quite good at it. But I think a lot of people, I don't believe it, because that would be something so easy to manipulate. Look, they're turning in. They're turning, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know. So maybe if you each have one, it might give you more accurate results. I don't know.
It might. And, you know, if you think about it, like a Ouija board works with more than one person.
Yeah. So I guess it makes sense. I've just never heard of somebody doing one and the other person doing one. So it says, we started with basic questions. Is anyone here with us? They cross yes. Are you male? No. Female? Yes. Are there others with you? A quick hard cross. So definitely yes. Then we felt the temperature drop. In fact, I could see my own breath, even though it was July. Seth asked, are any of the others bad? No. Are they stopping you from showing yourself? Yes. So I asked the next question, if you're comfortable, could you give us a sign? Nothing moved, absolute stillness. And then out of the corner of my eye, I saw movement at the tree line about 20 yards away. Did you see that? I said to Seth. Where? And I pointed, and a dark shape seemed to step out of the trees. It looked like the outline of a person, but it was pitch black, as if it absorbed the light around it. There was no face, no clothing, no details, just a human-shaped shadow. But it felt like it was staring at us. It started walking toward us, slow and steady steps. I guessed it was roughly 100 feet away when my legs finally reacted. I hit Seth on the arm and we both ran downhill, slipping through the grass, and I didn't dare look back. My goal was the car. At the bottom, the street lamp flickered as we reached the gravel shoulder. I fumbled for the remote, unlocked the doors. We jumped in. The shadow was halfway down the slope now and still coming towards us. I started the car, threw it in reverse, spun around, and sped down the road, and in the rearview mirror, I saw nothing but darkness. We drove 10 miles before we felt safe enough to pull over at a gas station. My hands were still shaking. The interior of the car felt really cold, but there was no reason for it because we didn't even have the AC on. I checked my phone's video. The screen was black, but the audio picked up our voices. Oh, he must have had his phone recording, I guess. Mm-hmm. But the audio picked up our voices the moment I spotted the figure and our footsteps pounding downhill. No image of the shadow itself, just darkness and our panic. We talked it through for an hour, it felt like. Our best guess, the first spirit we contacted wasn't lying when it said the others weren't bad. But maybe bad means something different on their side, or maybe worse, a spirit heard the invitation and used it. Either way, we had asked for a sign and we got one we didn't want. We did go back there twice more, but in daylight. Nothing unusual happened. The rod stayed still. The air felt normal. We never saw the shadow again. Part of me was relieved. Another part wondered if we'd been lucky the first time. It's been about a year. Seth keeps the rods in a hall closet. I keep quiet when friends bring up ghost stories. I know what I saw. I know how fast I ran. There's a house on a hill that can't keep residents and a field that turns cold when you ask the wrong question. If you ever figure out where it is, be polite, don't push, and make sure you have a clear path back to your car. Thanks for listening. Keep up the great podcast. That's from Dan. You know, That's something, those open-ended questions, too, that people tend to ask. I've heard, same with a Ouija board, I've heard, like, sometimes you ask a question that kind of lets something else in that you don't want, especially when you're like, mm-hmm. would you show us a sign? Well, sure, here I am. You know, I think you could get things you don't want.
Well, and that's what I think is kind of a thing that we need to be more cognizant. Be careful what you ask for.
Right.
Like, you don't know what you're asking when you say, give me a sign. So they do. Like, okay, well, here I am. Is that what you really wanted?
Yeah.
I do think you need to be careful when you're messing with things to think, okay, what is it I can handle and what do I want? What am I going to ask them for? Could you handle them speaking to you or saying something, right? Ask for something like that or whatever. But to just say, throw me a sign and then they step out. Okay, well, you know, that was way more than they were bargaining for.
And it is interesting, the house that's there that nobody seems to stay in for very long, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, and a lot of those old asylums are so haunted because so much tragedy happened there.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm sort of guessing, they said they've gone back and had nothing else really happen like that. I'm guessing that when they went back, they were just a little, they curated their, you know, questions a little better this time.
Yeah, and I think they went back during the day, which wouldn't feel nearly as creepy as at night.
Yeah, but, you know, this time they didn't probably say, give us a sign, you know, because they knew what happened that last time.
And here's the thing, maybe they just saw a serial killer and it was just super dark and they couldn't make out his face.
Well, either way, or I thought they ran away, jumped in the car and got away.
Yeah. Because today I recorded an episode of the Grave Talks about this town in Georgia. And these guys did a little docu-series. And they're short episodes, like 10, 15 minutes. Okay. But they were talking about Bigfoot and Sasquatch. And that kind of, you know, maybe you just ran into your run-of-the-mill Bigfoot. You know, maybe it was something like that.
Is there really such thing as a run-of-the-mill?
No, there's really not.
I was going to say, I don't think so.
But it just makes you wonder.
The whole Sasquatch thing up here in the north, in the Pacific Northwest is huge.
Oh,
and people go out, what do they call it? Squashing or something like that, where they go hunting for them.
Well,
and it's a thing. People really do
because
go out and camp and hunt for Sasquatch.
They interviewed a couple who has a, you know how you can hire an outfitter to help you deer hunt or whatever it is that you want. It's called Squatch Fishing Outfitters.
Okay.
So it's like the whole concept of deer hunting, and you hire the company to help you go deer hunting or whatever it is. You do that with Sasquatch there.
Yeah.
And I thought that was interesting. So they have a whole company where that's what you do.
I will bet they do that here too. Because, you know, people die up here doing it. I heard of a couple guys that died a few months ago that went out doing that. And I don't know exactly why they died. I don't know that Bigfoot Sasquatch got to them, but I don't know whether they died of hypothermia or what, you know, what exactly happened to them. But, you know, all the time, people get lost. The woods are crazy up here.
Yeah. You know? Very interesting.
It's you know, I think you just, in general, I think the thing to take away from this is stuff that you need to be careful with.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you're going to ask something to reveal itself in some way, shape, or form by saying, give me a sign, then is that what you really want?
That's the thing. You got it.
I don't think they did. I don't think Dan and Seth really did want that because they took off running. And then they went back and never got one again. And maybe it's because whatever was there was like, yeah, we've been through this before, you know, and you didn't want to deal with me. I don't know. You do need to be careful, I think, when you're dealing with these things. I think that They said that it was a town legend that an asylum burned and there was nothing left there. Then this house was built there. So I'm assuming all that's true. I'm assuming we just go with that story, right?
Right.
Even though they said it was a legend. I think maybe that part of it is true.
Well, I think an asylum being on the grounds would, just since it, because it's gone, I think that would be pretty easy to prove that there was an asylum there.
I would think so too, right? And then, but this house there, now that might be the real tricky thing, is to go in the house and do some investigations.
They're quite brave to get 10 feet from the house, though.
Well, exactly. But I'm just saying, you know, just as for our investigator people out there, they're just sponging at the bit here in this. Like, let us in.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I've got a feeling that thing is haunted.
And I do wonder, too, sometimes when you put yourself in a situation like that, you're standing at a house that at least it goes around town that it's very haunted. Nobody stays in it. It's 11 o'clock or whatever at night. Sometimes I think that you can kind of, well, I know me, and I can freak myself out.
You can get in your own head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they did that a little bit too, but I don't know.
I don't think so. I think they both saw this thing. I think they saw a shadow figure, and I think it really did happen. It scared them so bad. They took off, and it was like 10 miles before they felt safe enough to stop the car. Though they did say that it was cold still inside the car when they got in. So can you still carry some of the remnants of something with you, you know, a little bit? I think you can.
Or does it just take you a while to warm up after something like that?
Does it take you a while just to, yeah, shake it off of you and out of you? I think it's definitely a haunted place for sure. But once again, I think you just got to be careful when you're dealing with these things.
You know, if Dan and Seth are into this sort of thing, I would suggest reaching out to a local paranormal group and working with them a little bit, going out on some stuff with them, and maybe getting some pointers on questions to ask and stuff.
There's safety in numbers.
Exactly. Well, let's go to this phone call.
This is Kristen again. So my grandfather and grandmother met in World War II. They met on a Friday and were married on a Saturday and were married for 65 years. My grandmother was considered a war bride. She was from London. She had my father on American soil in England, so he had dual citizenship. Eventually, my grandfather had to go back home to school in Harvard, and she had to learn to accommodate to his privileged kind of trust fund family that at the time was still a part of a different class order that doesn't exist today, full of clubs and things like that. So, and fancy dresses and those kinds of things. So either way, he brings her over. Everyone doubts them, and they stay married for 65 years. I had a very close relationship with my grandmother after my grandfather died. I had a very close relationship with him, too, but he moved her. They flew on an airplane one day up here from Connecticut, and he moved her next door to my parents, and he died as soon as he arrived in the little house on the property. And she said her final goodbyes to him. And so I was left as her primary caretaker along with my husband, and we'd go see her every night for dinner. Eventually, she started missing her other home down in Harvey Cedars, New Jersey, and she was moved down there, and I became pregnant, and I wasn't able to visit her as much. One day, I normally called her every week. I went for a walk to the mailbox, and this beautiful monarch butterfly was just flying in front of me. And as I reached the mailbox, it just fluttered to the ground, and it died. And, of course, something like that's going to catch your attention. And in a flash, I felt like I couldn't stand, and I just knew my grandfather was trying to get in touch with me. and that my grandmother was going to die that day. And sure enough, my aunt called me back after I frantically called over and over again and said, your grandmother's in a dreamlike state and she's going to die soon. And she died about 5 hours later. So about 2 months later, I went to Elm Lodge to the lake house and I was pregnant. So I rushed in and there's only one bathroom downstairs attached to a bedroom that looks out to the front of the house. And it's attached to the dining room where I told you there's been many guests or ghost sightings. I knocked on the bedroom door thinking my sister-in-law was in there. And I heard clear as day a voice. And it said, just a minute, just like that. And I thought, well, why isn't my sister-in-law letting me in? She always lets me in. And I said, it's just me. Let me in. Fine, I'll wait. And I wandered into the living room, and there I saw my sister-in-law and brother out on the canoe. And I knew I was the only person in the house. I went back, and I opened the door, and no one was in there. And then I remembered my grandmother's British accent, and she always said, just a minute, and I knew it was her. I haven't heard her or my grandfather again. I think that was my last time. I know they found each other and they've left the property. As for the other ones, they are there, most certainly. And I have more stories. So I hope you get these at some point. Thanks.
Well, that was interesting. I'm assuming that was our grandmother.
I am too. Now, I will say that there is one thing that I would disagree with in this story. And that she said that we don't have the division in classes today, that we don't have that like super wealthy people and then the not wealthy people.
We kind of do.
I disagree with that. Jeff Bezos rented Venice like, for his wedding today. Or this weekend. So I'm just saying, I do think there are wealthy people and then not as wealthy people.
Yes, very much so.
I just had to get that off my chest thinking about somebody renting the town of Venice, Italy.
And the people really, from there aren't really okay with that.
No, nobody's okay with it, but whatever. But anyway, that just kind of made me laugh. Like, oh, I think there are wealthy people that live in a different world than I live in. I think that, what do you think about the monarch butterfly? You know, that's one of those things that we talk about quite a bit about signs and looking for those small things that happen. And, you know, think, well, this thing happened, but that's just little. It's no big deal. Yesterday I found a penny and, you know, my heart skipped a beat.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, yeah, I know you're there. And I think look for the little things in life. And like she said, I just knew it meant something at that moment. And then the phone call came pretty quickly after that. And then the grandmother passed away within hours after that. So, you know, like we said, I think that we are so much more connected universally to nature than we give it credit for. Does that make mm-hmm. sense? Like, yeah. I was thinking that this morning out on my walk because I was watching some birds and the way they reacted and thinking about signs that come from things. And I thought, you know, I think I was thinking about myself at that moment, but if we're just more aware, I think there's a lot of information that nature can give us about this whole big thing of life, right? And whether it's information from past loved ones, I think it can happen, you know? I ran into it. It didn't run into it. It was just jumped out of the bushes in front of me, a deer, like the day before yesterday. And it just stood there staring at me. And it was so close. And I had the baby with me. So I'm like a little bit panicked that this deer could lunge, you know, or something. So I'm kind of pulling her away. And I thought the deer would move when I started moving and it didn't. And it just kept looking at me and looking at me. And then it just turned, you know, very slowly. It wasn't scared of me at all. Just turned and walked away. but it seemed very interested in me. It just seemed to kind of know who I was a little bit, like just, you know, that feeling. And I had that happen occasionally with deer, where I, you know, had almost an accident with one recently and was staring at me. I just think things are trying to tell us stuff and we just need to listen. And I think the monarch butterfly is a great example of that. And then the just a minute definitely could be. And, you know, I would take that and put that in my back pocket and think about that for a little bit. Like, did she say just a minute because it was something that she just always said and wanted to let you know she was there? Or is there something she wants you to take your time on making a decision and not just jump into it? You know, like maybe sometimes we need to stop and go, are you trying to tell me that this thing I'm thinking about doing, I need to just really, think about it a little bit more?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
I just, you know, I think we need to kind of sometimes back up and listen.
And definitely, you know, because we talk about that all the time. Look for the signs. Mm-hmm. And I also agree with you about nature and animals. And, you know, are there signs that you're missing because you're not paying attention to that?
Mm-hmm.
But you especially know, butterflies.
And seconds make a difference, right? A few seconds here, a few seconds there, you could have been in an accident, but something kept you. And, you know, like a deer jumped out and it kept me standing there for 15 seconds or 20 seconds or whatever. Maybe that 15 or 20 seconds kept me from being involved in some sort of car accident later in the day or whatever. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think nature does things and maybe kind of helps guide us.
So I thought that was an interesting story. And if you have a real ghost story, we'd love to hear it. Call it in at 855-853-4802. You could write it in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Become a premium subscriber if you want. No commercials, advanced episodes, access to the archive. Sign up today through Apple Podcasts or go to patreon.com/realghoststory or ghostpodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you so much for listening.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.